We're snorting cap rates and shooting up cash flow here at Deal Junkie. Welcome back to Deal Junkies. I'm Gabe Johansson. I'm here with Trevor Howard, Mike Nuss, and Dane McKinney. Today, we are going to talk about one of Mike Nuss's favorite deals that he lost money on. Mike's rule number one is never lose money on a deal, and now he's going to tell you how he broke his rule.
Yeah, Warren Buffett stole that from me.
But you know what? Warren Buffett loses money on deals.
I know.
How can he say never lose money when he loses money?
And then says number two, look at rule number one.
Well, it was only $56 billion, and we shouldn't have bought that one.
But, okay. But that's in a vacuum.
Okay. All right.
You just zoom out. He made money in the year. Okay. Bad deal. Let me set the stage. So this is like 2012. So remember, I came out of a bad partnership and filed bankruptcy at the end of 2011, started a new partnership at the end of 2011. And we're really smart. So part of this partnership, we had like baggage. We were bringing some bad deals. Like there's a shitty deal in Gresham and really bad deal in Vancouver.
You're each bringing your own deals to this partnership?
These were part of the bad partnership where we had acquired these as part of the bad partnership. And so me taking on this partner was bringing on his baggage and then him taking on my baggage, which is bankruptcy, right? So I had no credit or capital.
Sounds like a great partnership.
Yeah, yeah. But I had real estate knowledge and chops, which he didn't have. And then, but he had credit and capital. And so we form a new partnership. And the best thing to do when you get into a new partnership, just go all in. Have no plan, have no vision, just have a desire to make a lot of money. Spread yourself out as thin as you possibly can.
Satire. This is satire.
So for people that are familiar with Portland, so what you want to do is you want to work in Vancouver, half hour north of Portland, Gresham, half hour east of Portland. We bought our first buy and hold property in Tualatin, which was a half hour south of Portland. And then we bought our first commercial property, Zero Dan deal, in Hillsboro, which was a half hour west of Portland. But this favorite specific deal was in Oregon City, a half hour southeast of Portland. So I think we had like seven projects and none of them were in Portland. All of them were around Portland. And so to go from Gresham project to Hillsboro was an hour and a half drive. So there's no efficiencies in anything that we were doing. On top of that, they weren't easy projects. We took on a land development project in a wetlands that needed wetlands mitigation to work with the Army Corps of Engineers. Not the smartest project. In fact, these two go hand in hand. So we've got that project going on, but we have we had flipped some houses with the GC. We had a really good relationship with the GC, and one of his employees, his parents had done a measure 95 or 45 land division out in the sticks in Oregon City. So we're talking multiple Street of Dreams projects are in the area, lots of million-dollar residences, but this was 2012. So we're coming out of the crash, and he's never built a home, and these are 2-acre plots, and we can buy two of them with the rights to buy three more. And we're going to go in there and seller finance the land and get some private debt to build these homes. And you go in there with the design of we're going to build a 3,000 square foot home, but it's going to have a basement. Maybe we'll finish it. Maybe we won't. And well, let's put 10-foot ceilings down there. And well, then let's finish it. And then now that, so your budget of $200,000 to build a 3,000 square foot house turns into a $450,000 project to build a 4,000 square foot house. And then it's done in 2014. And then the problem is we haven't really recovered from the recession. And so all those $1 million Street of Dreams homes, they just aren't transacting because people aren't paying $1 million for homes. So we did build an amazing product and they had great views of Mount Hood and the primacy effect. Like the design was there. Everything was there, which you wanted. We just didn't have a high-end marketplace.
Did you say you started this in 2011 and finished in 2014?
Yeah. I think we bought the land in 2012.
Oh, okay. And then you had to... Okay.
And then finished in 2014. So that's part of the process. Cool. So, because now you're buying land and you're doing custom spec construction. So custom meaning we don't have a plan. We're going to go get a plan and go get it permitted. And then spec, it's speculative. We don't have a buyer. We're building it with specs in mind. So you're talking about a long time frame. Not great when you're coming into a new partnership and you've got all this other stuff going on. Private capital. And then the problem there is you raise based on one budget and your budget doubles. So that was a fun conversation. I remember going back to that private capital lender and they're like, We'll give you more money, but we're going to give you just enough to hang yourself with. And so for every dollar they gave us, we had to spend a dollar to get that extra couple hundred.
Like a dollar of your own dollars?
Yeah. Too? They weren't going to give us $100 for our extension on the boat.
Gotcha.
So now you have to go do other deals to then create the income to bring the capital, because we're already past the capital we had in the deal, past the construction balance essentially. And then now we need more construction. So you don't have money for that project. You have a lender that's willing to help, but not fund the rest of it. And then we don't have any capital because the capital we had in the deal, we already lost. Because, you know, that's supposed to be a 12-month project and we're 18 months in and not done yet. And so now you have to go finish all your other projects and then you have to flip other houses. At the end, it was a really big experience. I think we went in supposed to make 400 grand. And so we lost like 100. So it wasn't...
That's not bad.
It's not a huge loss, but...
That's 21 times less than Gabe.
Right. The important thing is though, like, so in that deal, we lost 100 grand, but the reality is we probably lost $1 million in opportunity cost of doing other stuff in other arenas.
So where did you go wrong? Like
lots of spots.
Is it because your original plan got changed and you guys got excited about building? Was it ego? Was it something bigger, more grandiose? And then the budget changes?
Or? It was trust in the contractor. Because he had never as himself built a house like that. He'd done a lot of big renovations for us and he had come from a bigger building company and he'd been in the process, but actually his own crew running that entire project way underbid. So it wasn't that the budget exploded on us. It was way underbid to begin with. And then the other part of it, you know, you partner with a contract. How many times have you been, partner with a contract and have them tied to the bottom line? So he was a partner on the project, right? And so because it was one of his employees that brought the deal to us. So we negotiated it. We structured all the financing, but he was a partner in the deal. So he's building at cost. So part of the underbidding was not only did he just not put any, like, management, but he then underbid it himself. And so now you have a general contractor that's not getting paid, that you need on site to finish a project, that doesn't have any money in it for him to get paid. And the way he was going to get paid is tied to the bottom line
of was finishing he signed on the debt? Project.
He wasn't signed on the debt.
So he had no incentive.
Yeah. Stand up to him, like he finished the project, like, and he put it through and we did have losses. Part of the scenario was you've got a lot of excavation. We bought a fucking excavator because it was cheaper to buy an excavator, do the excavation on the project, and then sell the excavator at the end.
And rent it and keep it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so we did things like that and maybe it made sense, maybe it didn't. For him, it was a toy. Now he had it. Like, so there's ways you keep them tied to it. You're like, well, you can have that sexy excavator at the end because if we sell it for 13 grand, who fucking cares? You know, but if you have an excavator that you're really excited about, now you'll finish the project. Mm-hmm. So you figure ways to keep motivated or people incentivized, because I had no clue how to finish that project. And I remember we brought, I had a mentor coach, real estate investment coach, who built a ton of houses. And this guy's an asshole, just a total fucking sociopath. But, and he's such an asshole. He's one of those guys that's OCD. Everything has to be perfect and all, you know, and we brought him to town and paid money for him to come to town. We drove however long it took to get out to that project. And he's just didn't provide any solutions. He's just, oh, well, you should have done this way and this way and like this notch out and all this. And then I talked to the builder and he's like, you know, we're supposed to be doing this. And he's like, well, the plumber's just going to knock that out and the electrician's going to knock that out and all this stuff's going to get knocked out. I just rather come in at the end and reframe it. Right. So builders have their own processes to do things. And he had a process that may not have been as successful. And I don't know because I'd never worked with him again beyond that.
But. So your $400,000 projected profit was actually bullshit because your budget was wrong from the beginning.
Correct.
You didn't have a bunch of cost overruns because of your changes to the project. It was more that he didn't know how to bid that type of project.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The basement thing was an actual decision that we had done prior to finishing a budget. So that was a sidetrack but it was just underbid from the get go.
So you wasted a couple of years and you lost 100,000. What would you do differently? Would you do that deal again?
I just wouldn't do that deal because it wasn't our zone of genius. It was a distraction. It was outside. It was a physical deterrent. Like it was physically problematic to get there. Just not a good use of resources.
So, wrong market, wrong product type. Mm-hmm. You got out of your lane.
Yeah. So we talked about don't force a deal. we were hungry, right? Like I'm out of bankruptcy. Like we're just hungry for
got to do deals. Something.
You got to do something.
And your partner brought this as part of his baggage, you said.
No, the two of the other properties we owned were part of that baggage. And so we had two properties that we just had to deal with to get out of that problem. And then we bought a really complicated subdivision project, which just drained a lot of resources. And then we bought this spec build. And the reason we bought those was it was just low hanging fruit that was just dropped on our plate. The subdivision ended up, we made a lot of money on the subdivision. It just took 4 years to get there. So, but it's the distractions. What would have been better? And here's the other thing we did a bread and butter flip in Southwest Portland, a bread and butter flip in Tigard, something that took 3 months to make 40 mm-hmm. versus, well, we can do this for a year, make 400, mm-hmm. right? So it was part of it was ego. You build a million, you know, big, we're building by the street of dreams, the biggest, baddest house. We're going to make four times the profit in the same, you know, it's just, so it was all ego driven, which is fine if you can execute. And I think that's where our ego, you know, it keeps us from believing, like it tells us we can execute when we don't really have the skills to do that. So that was part of it is the execution.
What would a reasonable profit margin be on a building like that, you think? Like if somebody did it and did it right, how much money could they expect to make?
Yeah. So 30% margin is pretty typical.
30?
Prior to cost. So your net margin is going to get down in the 20% range, right? So those $700,000 homes, the problem was, is we were into them for $750,000. If you're into it for like $575,000, $550,000, that's the profit margin you want. So $550,000, that gets you up to $700,000. So you're what? $550,000 is almost what? 72% of $700,000.
So you're saying somebody makes $150,000, $200,000,
you probably net $100,000 on the house. Yeah.
So knowing that today, when you look at a deal and you say, we think we can make $400,000, mm-hmm. do you just say, nope, there's no way?
Yeah.
Because I've done this before and that doesn't work.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because if you could, there's everyone no way would somebody be selling us this exactly. lot right now.
Be correct.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So then is that deal worth doing again to make $100,000 or $150,000 if you knew what you were doing? There's obviously guys out there doing it. How would you do that deal the right way? You're a home builder. This is all you do is spec build $500,000 homes. You know the area. You know your systems, and you can get that thing out of the ground in 9 months or a year.
Correct. Because there are builders out there that are killing it because it doesn't take them 18 months to do that project.
Yep.
Right.
You're carrying costs. Yeah. And I mean, the time kills you. When you line up when we fall outside of your timelines and then you've got that lined up with debt that has a clock ticking on it. That's my story.
Yeah. Well, when you talked about your loss, you're like, my dollar for dollar loss was what the lender made, mm-hmm. right? Our lender made more than the $100,000 we lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to know about the stress of this. Like, where were you at with life and all your other deals? Like, was this, because it sounds like you're just making on your other deals and you lost $100,000 here. Was it like, oh, whatever?
Yeah, that's the beauty of being really fucking busy is you just don't know, right? Like my stress load was, I didn't know what was stressing me out. I was fat. I was 270, 280 pounds. I wasn't playing golf. I was just, I internalized all of it physically, mentally, like, but I can, at the time, if you asked me, I couldn't tell you what the problem was. And that was part of the problem was I just wasn't ready to go do something like that. Right? Like I talk about, you move, when you have a problem happening, it's easier to move forward to create the solution out of that forward process to fix the problem in the past. But you also can't move out ahead of your skis too. And that's what we did. Like if we had just done those two other little flips that we bought and didn't have that distraction, you know, those two little flips would have solved all of our quick little immediate problems because they weren't that big. It was finish a house in Gresham. It was unloaded thing in Vancouver. Needed $100,000. So those two flips we did quickly could have paid for all that and we would have been free and clear. But instead, those two flips just kept us, right? So we got way out over our skis and we were trying to solve a problem that was solvable with a screwdriver by using a freaking
jackhammer.
Jackhammer. Yeah.
Is that what the motion you're making?
Yeah.
I call this $100,000 education.
Yeah.
My question for you is, was it worth $100,000? Like, would you, if you had to go back and do it all over again because of the lessons you learned, would you do it again to know what you know now because you lost that $100,000?
I mean, I don't regret it, but I don't know that I'd sign up for it. Like,
but if you didn't know, you would go sign up for it. You might sign up for a bigger one and lose.
No, I would rather have. Like, here's the, what are they doing that we're not, what I didn't do? I wasn't talking to people. I was, oh, I know what I'm doing. even though we weren't that experienced, people looked up to us because we had volume. And so I had this ego, like, I don't need help. This is fucking stick build. This is simple. I know that market. I know it's worth. In fact, I think they sold for 800. They sold for more than I, like, we did that part of the job right. But what I would have done is talk to a builder, would have said, you're not going to build that for that.
Talk to somebody that knows. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We never did that. We just went off his budget. We didn't have anyone else check the budget. And because we weren't using a hard money lender, we used a private money lender. They don't know how to check budgets. Mm-hmm. Like a hard money lender would have at least said, this is not in line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
I was honestly kind of hoping to hear about you being more stressed. Seems like you handled this pretty well and you just solved it.
Oh, I'm sure I would have said something different at the time. I think that's actually what one of my superpowers is. I handle stress pretty well. I have a pretty quick pressure release valve, which isn't great in the moment sometimes, but it keeps me from building up.
Okay. So you're sleeping during this time?
Well, I slept from 8 to midnight. This was that period.
Oh, this is the period where you're...
Yeah. When I was appraising.
Like appraiser guy. Yeah.
So you had a day job still. It's now money.
And that's the other thing. When you're that busy, you can just ignore a lot of shit. And that's part of the problem too, is when there's some ostrich in the head scenario. Like we probably could have managed that contract, or we probably could have stopped writing checks sooner. Like we could have managed that project even tighter. Mm-hmm. But when you're so distracted, your level of micromanagement, like you just can't do that. And we didn't have the systems, and we didn't have an expert in our company to do that for
us. Do you build ground up today?
Yeah, but I don't do it. I have a builder partner.
And only in certain areas.
So only very specific business model where we're bringing the overlapping skill sets to the table. So acquisition, finance, and development finance and remodels on the existing units is our bread and butter. Entitlement, building the new construction is what they're bringing to the table. And so we mix those skill sets for the projects that have those elements in place.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Would you have known how to do that if you hadn't have done this deal?
And it's funny you actually mentioned this, because right after this deal, we did our first partnership with this builder partner. So the partnership we formed in 2020, we did a deal with them in 2013, 2014. And yeah, that was the bot, because we were going through this process. And so we had using a shitty builder out in the country that we knew sucked versus this person was really well known, high end spec builder, sells everything pre-sale. We had a really good lot. So it was just, you tell us what's going to work and I'm going to step aside. Mm-hmm. And he was really cool. He was like, you guys just buy the lot and I'll bring in financing and I'll build it and we'll just split the profit. He made it so simple, so easy. And almost to the point where he made it so simple, I didn't learn what I could have learn because I just, what, there's no level of involvement for me. But then now fast forward, what, 7-8 years after that, that's perfect because now I know what it's like to work with him. I don't have to be involved when it comes to his arena, and he doesn't have to be involved when it comes to mine.
So you got out of your lane, but then you went and found a partner that actually put you back. It allowed you to be able to get into that lane and do it successfully with somebody different.
Yeah, I believe in development, especially when you're talking West Coast markets or coastal markets. Like it's highly leveraged, it's highly risky, but it's highly, highly profitable. And it comes from land value. And I'm such a sucker for land value. If you know land value, you have to know it when you do these opportunities. And so like I bought some properties now that I wouldn't buy if I didn't have that development arm of my wing, because that is what allows me to make that a good buy. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
generate the profit.
Yeah
Questions, Trevor? You're thinking. I can see your wheels turning.
He wants me to be in pain.
I wanted to hear how Mike Nuss gets through the struggle of some real pain. But
you work really fucking hard. I mean, what else do you say?
Just work 24 hours a day. That's it.
Here's what I wasn't
never have
doing.
Time. To.
Like I wasn't swinging a hammer. I wasn't like doing physical labor. Like that would have not helped anybody. So I dove into appraisals so that way I could not rely on any income from my development company. So that was what I did. I said, okay, this company is not going to pay me for the next 2 years. I've got to go make all my money out of appraisals to get this company to the end, and hopefully we can acquire some good seller financing along the way so it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not painful enough. More lessons to learn.
I'll get you some better ones when we're ready for them.
Dane will bring us a story. Dane's gonna lose money.
Dane, you gotta go find a deal by next week.
I gotta find a bad deal. The bad thing is that now every time I'm with you guys and I can just passenger seat the stuff that would like make me not do a deal. So with him, he just didn't have the right builder. But
is that what you pulled out of that?
Well, because you just you were in the wrong lane, and then you were like, well, how do I get back to that lane? It's like, well, I just got to hop in that guy's car.
I picked the wrong builder and didn't have oversight of him because we were too distracted.
Yeah.
And so what it was in the last episode recording, what did I say to you guys? I'm concerned about you getting distracted. Right? That was my biggest lesson.
Never do a bad deal. Well, if you don't do a bad deal at some point, you're not doing enough deals. Yeah. That's what
I said. Well, I've been trying really hard. I don't know. Can't seem to figure out.
Well, here's the thing. You can do a bad deal and lose money and not lose cash. You make it up.
Use other people's. So
right.
That's why I don't want to, because I don't want to lose Gabe's money.
But you don't lose their money. You just pay it back. You just have to do another.
Well, I know.
It's a temporary loss.
That's okay. Yeah. I guess we did almost. Yeah. We've almost done a couple.
You're just getting started.
I know.
Don't worry.
I don't know anything.
Don't worry. You'll get there.
I just don't like
it. All right. Are we bringing it in? All right, guys. Thanks for joining us. This is How to Never Lose Money on Real Estate by Mike Nuss. Losing $100,000 building a spec home. But all the lessons he learned made it worth it. So thanks for joining us. We will see you next time.